You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey everybody, this is Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm.
Hey, what's up? This is Chadis from Hell Yeah and Mudvayne.
This is Ron Bumblefoot Fall.
Hey, this is Barbara Wild.
And this is Daniela Clark.
This is Johnny from Art of Dying.
Hey, this is Mixie from Stitched Up Heart.
Hey, this is Nick Reese from Joyous Bowl.
Hey, this is Josh from Bad Flower. Welcome aboard. The ship making way is fuck!
Hey, this is Ralph Sutton.
This is Aaron Jones.
What's going on, gang? Zach Wild here. And you're listening to Making Waves, the Shipwrecked Podcast.
Making Waves.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Making Waves, the Shiprock Podcast. We are part of the Sound Talent Media family and the fastest growing rock music podcast in the world. We've had nearly 7,000 downloads this year, and our community is larger and more involved than ever. So thank you so much for the support. And remember to review, rate, like, and subscribe and share. And I am Al McManus here. I'm the director of operations for Ask For Entertainment, the company that brings you Shiprock Cruise. And I'm sitting in for the singular special Justin Press, who is currently hang gliding in Rio de Janeiro, where he will finally come back with the hair of his dreams. And we'll all see the wonderful side effects of the pure airflow through those lovely locks. And alongside of me here tonight is my rock, my hero, my past, my present, and my future, Chad Nicefield.
I do. Thank you so much.
My God.
For asking.
So I nice, do. Chad. Thank you.
Thanks
so
for
much.
Having me.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for joining us. And this episode of Making Waves, we have first-time Shiprock virgins who will embark on a massive U.S. tour supporting Anti-Flag on September 8th in Cooperstown, New York, in support of their new album, Mohawks and Do-Rags, which is scheduled for release on September 20th, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, in the viewing audience and viewers at home and abroad, is also yours truly's birthday. So happy birthday to me. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, boys. Please welcome Jaffe and D from Oxymorons. Welcome to the show, guys.
I'm going to make that spatial for you. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. So we are here ready to BS our way through this thing and get to know you guys. A lot of our guests who listen, our listeners who tune into the podcast, are there's a lot of them that go on our cruise, and you're going to get the full experience with that here in January. But this is a great way to just kind of get to know them and them to get to know you, et cetera. And just kind of tell us your story. I know you guys, I had to do a crack breakdown listen this morning, because I'm filling in for our regular host. And so I got to consume a whole bunch of music today from you guys. And it's great. I listened to it early on when we booked you guys on the cruise. And then now today I put the headphones on. I actually laid on the couch and just kind of zoned out. And I'm so excited to see you guys on the ship and so excited to have you guys. Our guests are going to freak out and love you guys. So why don't you guys, you know, in 11 seconds, you know, give us the whole history of the band, your personal histories, your social security numbers, dates of birth, and maiden names.
Yeah. I'll just say, I'll send you the QR code and you can just scan it.
Oh, dude. Love it. Yeah. In your stupid faces.
Excellent. Excellent answer.
That was great.
So you guys are currently in the city that never sleeps presently. Is that correct?
Oh, it went to sleep the last 2 years though.
Yeah. Last year it went to sleep for the first time.
Whereabouts in Queens are you actually?
I'm in Ridgewood.
He's in Ridgewood. Right now I'm in Williamsburg. I'm in Brooklyn right now. But originally the band's from Queens. So originally I'm from Ozone Park, Southside, Jamaica, all that good stuff.
I used to spend time over in Forest Hills, so I didn't know.
I'm very close to Forest Hills, dude. I used to actually, one of my first jobs was at a skate shop called Concrete Jungle over Forest Hills. It's across the street from where the movie theater was. If you are a Forest Hills head,
I'm not a Forest Hills head. I just have spent some time in the neighborhood via my ex girlfriend, but I do know, and I found out that the Ramones—that's where they grew up.
Yeah,
cut their teeth as humans, so that was cool for me to realize. And then I realized that actually half of them were from your neighborhood and the other half of them were from the Forest Hills. So.
You know, it's not that far apart though. That's the whole thing. It's like, it's literally like maybe like a 10 minute difference. It's really, really close. But the neighborhoods are jarringly different.
Are you guys related too? You guys are,
no, not me and Jaffe.
Not the,
not us two, but my we're related by love.
And, but best kind of relationship,
like, experience.
KI is actually my bro brother. Same mom, same dad, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So how did you two meet then?
It's a beautiful story.
Do tell.
It's actually funny, and an A&R from Tommy Boy Records named Fred.
Shout out, Fred.
Shout out, Fred.
What's up, Fred?
Shout out, Fred.
Listening.
It's funny.
Fred. That's just got to shout out.
Fred hits me one day on Instagram. He's just like, yo, there's this dude that I think you would love. His name is Jaffe. I was like, oh, word? And he sends me a video. And I'm just like, oh, shit. This dude's dope. Like, it was really fucking dope. Jaffe, and I had never heard of Jaffe, never met him, nothing. And we've been in the New York scene doing what we're doing for a while. And just we never crossed paths. And so I was like, oh shit. And at the time we were actually flirting with the idea of adding an extra guitarist and a whole bunch of stuff, because we were making a bunch of shifts to the band. And I was like, yo, let me hit this dude up. Let's meet. And we met, we went to a coffee shop. We had a beautiful date. It was awesome. We literally sat together for 2 hours, gauging each other's eyes, telling each other.
Didn't even touch our coffees.
Didn't touch our coffees.
I put my lips to that cup.
Exactly. It was crazy.
Stretch his shirt out, a little heat coming up.
Yeah, Chad, it sounds like our story, Chad.
It got misty. Yeah. And we just, and from then, we just really, really hit it off as far as like who we are as people, what things meant to us, and just being POCs in the rock space in New York. And we pretty much had the same vision and goals. And we were just like, yo, you want to try this out? And bam. Yes.
So go ahead, Chad.
I was just going to ask maybe the same question. When you two were met up, you had already been established and the band had already started. So he came in. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been in Oxymorons has been on this journey 10 years. I joined 4 years ago. Leading up to the 4 years that I was in the band, I was born in the Bronx and raised in uptown. And I grew up in a very like folkloric family from Dominican Republic. So a lot more like roots music. And also my dad was a reggae musician. And then I got into rock and punk in my late teens. I used to be a drummer. And then I had my first gig in New York City. Never owned a car, taking all my drum shit on the train. And I did it one time and I said, fuck this. I'm going to learn how to play guitar. That seems easier. So I went down that path, and like I was in a bunch of underground bands in the Brooklyn punk scene and the scene in the Bronx as well, all over Lower Manhattan. I played in Afrobeat bands too, just a little bit of everything. But always the main time, just sort of pushing like brown and black people in white dominated spaces. Always being, you know, on like one of the few dark peoples in the crowd. And so when we met, we were just like, Oxymorons is all about meshing all genres and all types of music and being influenced by everything. And so that's the path I was on anyway. So we were talking about my band opening for Oxys, but then we were like, let's just make the Justice League here. And like put it all
together. Let's stop doing this and let's get married.
Yeah, exactly.
You knew what's happening. It felt that good. So D, when did your brother get into this situation here? When did he meet? Because I'm feeling like you're here with us, you're on the podcast. Like, where's your brother, man? What's going on? Is he scared?
No, he's not scared. He's okay. We don't live together, and you know, he's Fabio, he got things to do. My brother's the pretty boy of the group.
He's the handsome one.
He's the handsome one.
Self-proclaimed handsome.
Right.
And overall in general, like Oxys has, like Job says, we've been here for a while. But the thing is, the only thing that hasn't changed with the Oxymorons is the name. Over the years we morphed and figured this, because it wasn't always cool to blend its genres. It wasn't always okay to be who we are right now. Even though we were always just doing it. I'll tell specific stories of when Oxys formed. I was actually in another situation that was kind of taking off. And then that situation fell through. We had a bunch of records. I was living in Atlanta. And when that situation didn't work out, I was actually never going to do music again. I was done with it. I was over it. I went to school for law. I have a degree. I was like, screw this. it's not going to happen. And it was my brother who was just like, dude, you're really way too good to actually quit music. And he was just like, let's do it together. And historically, like, I come from a musical family. So my dad does music. well, he did music until my mom forced him to stop.
Hey.
All of my siblings, they do music. Like my cousin plays like 12 instruments. It's ridiculous. We come from a musical family. But me and K.I. kind of like ducked the whole like, we're going to do music together thing. We just never wanted to do it. It was just was the thing we did. So we formed Oxys. We ended up forming Oxys. And what's funny, it was because what made Oxys really, really start to be a living thing was connecting with, and it's going to be a wild name that you'll know, it's connecting with a band called the Bad Rabbits, right? We connect with the Bad Rabbits in Jersey at Treehouse. But it was because of Jesse Corman from the Number 12.
I know Jesse so well.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
We're learning.
Jesse used to manage my old band back in the day and try to sign us this deal.
What was your band?
Ayers. It was called Ayers at the time.
It's so crazy. So Jesse, around that's the time crazy. He was creating Bad Rabbits and doing all the Foxy Shazam stuff,
yeah.
We were kind of like,
I know the Foxy guys.
Yeah, I know the Foxy. Dude, if you heard the record Asleep, probably if you went through our Spotify.
Yeah.
So there's a version that we do live where Alex played the horns.
Alex is old school human. That's great.
I had no idea
about this. I just got jacked. I'm so sorry.
This is amazing. I love it, man.
What? I'm taking my shirt off right now.
You know what, people? First, they were gazing into each other's eyes. Now I know people.
Sorry. Back up the Bad Rabbits then. Okay. Interesting.
Back up the, we're helping with Stick Up Kids. And they wanted us to do gang vocals and stuff like that. So we jumping in with Jason DiNazio, who does, Panic at the Disco and all that crazy shit. Like it's really wild because at the time we kind of didn't understand what we were in. Cause we had no clue who these people are. So we do that. We work on Stick Up Kids. All that works out. At one point, Jesse and Black, because you know Jonathan Black, if you know Jesse really well, and Jonathan Black, they were starting to gear up together to manage us and all these things. And then kind of like Paramount, which was the manager coming, that kind of like fell apart. And it just didn't end up working out. And then we ended up being at Pilot Creative, making a shift after the whole era being at Treehouse connected us to so many people from like Travis McCoy to Ben Giornaldo from what was his band? Oh my God, Arm of Sleep. We were around all that shit. And that's kind of like where we realized and learned a lot of the things where we could be like, oh, we can really blank some shit and do some crazy shit. And so fast forward a couple of years, boom, we're on tour with Gym Class and it just kind of like, and just kind of the floodgates just kind of open up because we first started this thing out and as just two guys with a drummer and a DJ with a DJ. And then we added our drummer, Maddie, who is still with us till now. Maddie's amazing. And Maddie was an intern at Pilot Creative, the management company we were at. And we needed a drummer one day because our drummer, who was named Maddie, which is hilarious. Was a
evil,
fucking
evil Maddie.
Evil Maddie and Safe Maddie. He was a maniac. Like I'm talking like he would miss gigs. He would just wild out and things were starting to go well for us.
Sorry, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny.
He's a maniac. Like,
In hindsight.
I'm talking about cocaine. He literally put his underwear out at the SLS in Hollywood. Like wild shit. He was a wild boy. He was fucking wild. And we was like, we kind of don't need that anymore. And so we were like, anymore.
It's fun to have a drummer miss a show when you're starting up because then he's like, it's something to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
Like it sucks for you guys at the moment, but like a week later, somebody hates that moment and that shit just got spread to another moment. Then they're listening to your music and like, that's kind of badass that dude didn't show up on time.
Exactly. And so we get Maddie. We're like, actually, this is the Maddie story. We're like, we need a new drummer because we had some gig that was coming up. And Maddie at the time was the intern and he was literally our intern. He was like scared to do shit for us.
Day to day then. Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhat of a day to day, more like whenever we're in the office and we need something, Maddie's going to jump around. And get it.
Whenever I want a Coca-Cola.
We used to send Maddie on gummy bear run. He's gummy bears.
Yeah, you're learning. You're learning, Maddie. This is how you learn.
Learning. Maddie learned shit.
Yeah. He learned he didn't want to get you gummy bears.
Yeah, he's like, I'll play drums instead, though.
Exactly.
Like, fuck this. And then he just, he raises his hand when we're like, we need a drummer. He's like, yo, I play the drums. And we're like,
yeah, okay, Maddie.
Really? Okay, literally. Yeah, okay, yeah, Maddie.
Go okay, some Maddie. Fucking gummy bears. Can we go back? Yeah. Produce and me some gummy bears.
And then, no lie, we were like, oh, you want to do this? He had to learn 7 songs in 2 days. And that motherfucker crushed it. that motherfucker crushed it and hasn't been getting us gummy bears since.
That's what's up, dude.
Last so gummy cool. bear run ever.
Yeah.
He crushed it, bro. He crushed it.
So it's been five of you. Is there five? Yeah.
We used to even be a 6-piece. We morphed a lot. I like to call it Voltron. We just trying to figure out this formation.
Just eating your spawn.
Because what happens, it was just like, you know, bands go through these phases where they're like players coming in and out, things are happening. But a lot of the times, bands normally change the name. When bands shift, they change the name. Like even like, if you want to talk for instance, like Rex, when Jason shifted out of Let Live, he made Fever 333 and the name changed. But the J's essence still stayed. We never changed the name because it's a fucking cool ass name. We flirted with ideas. Like even the name of the LP, we flirted with being our name. Like it was going to be Gateway Drug and stuff like that. We were just flirting with ideas. And we're like, no, Oxymoron is a fucking cool ass name. So we just kept it, but it interchanged players until we got to what we like to call the 4-piece. because the 4-piece is our final form. It is what we've worked on. It's us at our best. It's the Justice League, like Javé said. Like we pieced this thing together that is now incredible, and that's pretty much the cliff, not cliff note story of the Oxymorons. Because there's a lot of cool shit in between, but you know,
yeah,
we ain't got all that time.
What was the moment where you guys really okay? So you had a good meeting, right? And didn't drink coffee, and we're very close, probably to embracing one another. What did when you guys got to play together? Explain to me what that moment was like when it was the four, like when Maddie came in and everybody was like, and you're kind of looking at each other and could you feel it?
When I first joined, I was the 7th member.
Actually. Oh, six. Wow. Okay.
Six.
There's two good. Oh, okay.
They had a guitarist and a bass player. Shout out to
Joe.
Yeah. I was going to be a rhythm guitarist and like MIDI keyboard player. I was at that time too, I was just more used to being like a hired gun for tours. That's how I was just sort of making a living, and then producing stuff. But, I think like, you know, then Joe, the bass player, he had a health issue before a tour so that he couldn't join us for. So I was like, I'll pick up the bass. And I was switching off between guitar and bass. And, we had the other guitarist. And then, right before the pandemic and after, you know, everything happened, he moved away and sort of, the moment that we knew 4-piece was it was we had a run where it was myself and the other guitarist, and the other guitarist, there was a festival, like a specific date or two he couldn't make. So we
it was in
like,
Michigan, Bay City, Michigan too.
Yeah, Bay City, Michigan.
That's right, man. I'm in Detroit, but yeah. Okay. I booked you guys before here in Detroit, sidebar. After the Mopop Festival. We had you guys do our after party. Yeah. One time.
Oh, like, you booked.
I've been known by you guys for a while.
Okay.
I didn't know about the Jesse shit, but anyways, sorry. This so to get back on the story.
Yeah. No. Well, you know, we've been working like with playing with backing tracks as well live, and we kind of go in and out and use, you know, the benefits of technology while trying to keep it as real as possible too, as musicians. We were like, fuck, well, we'll make it happen with just 4 of us. We'll kind of throw those 808s back into the playback. And, it felt and sounded so fucking good. I was like, I was scared. We were both like, is this supposed to be this? Have we just been a 6-piece band all just jerking off on stage this whole time? Yeah. And now everyone's just sort of there doing their job and like, the actual band and the songs like shine through, you know, it just sounded a lot more collective. We were like, wow, this is fucking it. This is it right here.
In that moment, I can't as a musician. Yeah.
In Michigan, nonetheless, it all comes back to Michigan.
It's always the mitten. Always the mitten. Just grabbing them by the throat. Being like, get your shit together. Okay. But that's awesome to hear. The fact that you understood what I took away from that comment you made about jerking each other off or whatever it was. Maybe it wasn't that. I can't remember. I missed
there. Oh, it was totally that. Yeah.
You know, like there's a version of like when there's too much pie or cake or whatever.
Too many cooks.
Yes. And you don't really realize there's going on because it's brotherhood. You know, you guys are on the road, your family, all that shit. Like this guy's got a purpose or this part's got a purpose or it makes you feel good. It's all about that. And that moment is so critical to like the culmination of what is that you guys is like ethos as people. But when you take a step back, when you can accidentally, usually it's always these situations where like you didn't know that you had too many cooks or you didn't know that you were using too many ingredients per se in the situation until like the flop, whatever the sugar or whatever it was, wasn't available. So you just said, fuck it. Let's just see what it tastes like. Right. And like, oh shit, we could have been saving ourselves so much money. Yeah. Like all
those other things. Oh my God. Oh,
yeah. No, I'm a purist. Like, yeah. Before I joined Oxymorons, I had like my own 8-piece band that I was essentially just paying everyone out of pocket after each show. I was making shit. I was like, I'm not. You know, like if the part's on the record, I'm hiring someone to do it.
And, yeah. Sorry. And now you're like, I'm such an idiot.
Wow. Years wasted. Money with that. Money. Learning lessons.
A lot richer. You could have been a lot richer.
Well, I could have had a savings.
And you know, and part of it too, it's like, you know, the very real part of the economics of being in a band and trying to make it work.
Exactly.
I dick around in a cover band and I've always been musical and that kind of thing. And it's like, hey man, you know, keyboard player would be a really good idea. Like, God, it's just like, we could just play live, no tracks, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, yeah, but it's another mouth to feed, you know, and I do it for fun. But even then you're like, it just doesn't make sense, you know? And I feel like with y'all's music that, boy, it sure feels like six people doesn't serve what you need. It's not your voice, is it? It's like the what you have now. And it's not simple, obviously. It's not simple music, but it's like, like Chad said, it's just, it sounds, that listening to your music now, it's like, this is kind of what it needs to be. It's still fairly knuckle dragger, right? And that's the thing, you're trying to hit people. You're trying to move people. And the more you have, it's just like, I'm going to hit you. Would you kill him with 1,000 paper cuts? Or would you just like to bring a sledgehammer?
Sledgehammer. Right. And you that's know? What we are now. We are a very efficient sledgehammer.
Right.
An efficient killing machine.
Sledgehammer. Yeah. Yeah. That's how we want to be introduced at Shiprock. Just make a note.
Okay.
You should just come out to that song, Sledgehammer, by, is it, who's it, who does,
that's, who it? Oh, that's,
not Genesis. It's, Phil Collins?
Guy from Genesis.
Phil Collins?
No, it's the other one. Keep going. Peter Gabriel.
That guy. Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
We got time, dude. That's
some stuff. No, you should just like fucking have that be your walkout music, dude.
Sledgehammer. Oh, some WWE shit.
That's we don't even play. We just walk to like each row of the stage. Look at like, people.
Do not allow them to walk out.
No, I was going the opposite. I was in, man. I was in.
It's great. When you take all of these ingredients in, like, to not to chime on for everybody who's listening, who's probably like, all right, now talk about their other stuff. But I just have to at least mention the fact that, like, I should say, Al, you said, do I need this keyboard player? And you guys brought it down to the basics. Now you have a place to step up and step back from when you move forward. So like a really important hometown show or a big festival look or whatever it is, that's when you bring in that extra tier, that extra player, that thing that sets it off, because the footprint of the stage works and it just kind of like the energy is going to feel good. It might not look as great, aesthetically from the crowd if there's just four dudes on, you know, who knows what it is at that stage. But now you have an extra weapon in your bag because you know exactly where you need to be. And most people who have never gone there before, they'll never go there before. Again, you know, taking a step back is different than taking a step forward, I guess.
Absolutely. We're definitely going to pull a motherfucking U2 and get the Harlem River Choir up at MSG on that bitch.
Yeah.
We're doing all those things. Yeah.
There's going to be people on stage just eating ramen.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear.
Yeah. No. Hey, what are those people on stage? There are walkers. We just have them walking on the stage, man.
Okay.
Because that's what we want.
We're healthy. You know, we're thinking about calories. contest it out.
Yo, that is hilarious. We're healthy. We're thinking about we do count calories though. We are a pretty healthy band. We're not too bad about that.
Well, you gotta be, man. You gotta be. You know, I think anymore, it's like, you know, there's, you know, set aside the thing ravaging the earth right now. You know, it's like it pays to be healthy. And you guys, you're about, and speaking, that's a nice segue. You're about to hit the road for what it seems like, by my nose here, feels like ever. Like forever.
10,000 years. We're never coming home.
And it's amazing. Have you guys embarked on this much work over this amount of time before? As the four piece you have?
Not as the four piece. We've toured extensively and done a lot of stuff, but not as the four piece. But this tour specifically in the falls is awesome because we fought to be accepted here. So we're gonna show out. The scene wasn't always very kind to us. It wasn't always like, hey, what's up? So now that we're here and we're getting this moment to be in these spaces, it's going to be really, really cool. First, like, we're riding out with Anti-Flag, and then the next one, we're jumping up and we're going out with Neck Deep. And that's going to, it's going to be nuts. So it's going to be nuts. And four people, we'll be in Michigan on Tuesday. Come out.
This Tuesday? Like next week?
Coming to, yeah.
Oh, hell.
Right? I'll be there.
You're going.
Anti-Flag show, right?
Yeah.
That's a show that the company that I used to work for before the, you know, book. So I'll actually probably be up there on Tuesday night, to be honest with you. It's weird. Anyways, that's crazy. Anti-Flag. I've known those being from Detroit. They're just down the street over there in Pittsburgh or whatever it is. All right. I think Steel City is where they came from somewhere over there. You guys know those dudes? Because they've been doing this for a long time. And you're a fan of them or not, that's like a big respect thing for them.
Yeah.
Yo, it's crazy. They reached out. They're the ones who they reached out. They liked our record Green Vision. And they were just like, yo, you guys are cool. We like what you're doing. And do you guys want to come out? And we're like, yeah. fucking yeah.
Yeah.
Hells yeah. So we're really, really stoked to be on this tour. And even like there's a little vocal taste on Mohawks and Do-Rags with number two with Chris.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So has showed us a lot of love and a lot of love. In the DMs and just like really really taking us on this ride. Like you said, it's a big respect thing for us. We're like super excited and can't believe it, but also they've been showing their respect to us, which we definitely appreciate and admire them even more so for.
Great dudes.
I'll take a moment here. We are currently live on Facebook for the back half of our conversation here with Oxymorons. Thank you everybody for joining us, for tuning in. We appreciate you and appreciate your sport and your support for that matter. Whatever sport you're into, we appreciate that. And we also appreciate the support. Go Yankees.
Oh, damn it. I got to go. I'm canceling this shit right now. I'm out of here.
Hey, listen, man. It's a perfect time to not be a Yankees fan because they are just lost right now. Like, what are you doing? It's so frustrating.
I'm a Mets and Knicks fan, which just means I'm basically a loser.
A loser.
So, I'm used to it. It's fine.
So we've had a really good time chatting with these guys about kind of the origins of the band. Touched on the tour a little bit, talked about some mutual friends that they've got with Chad. It's been super interesting listening and participating to this for me personally. So welcome again, everybody. I think now that we're live on our Shiprock page, I think we should probably ask the question that is most likely going to be asked here is, have either of you young gentlemen been on a cruise ship before?
No, I'm so hyped. I'm fucking hyped. I've never been on a cruise.
I'm hyped and scared at the same time.
I've heard horror stories about every single cruise. Doesn't mean I don't like a good shit show. I love a good shit show.
It's funny because I love it when people say, I actually prefer the answer, and Chad, you know what I'm going to say, is when they go, yeah, I've been on a cruise before, and they go, yeah, we went to wherever we went, and I go, okay, well, think of that experience. This is nothing like that. Right. So it's too bad that you haven't been, because it's to compare the two is really where the super contrast comes into a regular sailing with shuffleboard and that kind of thing. And it's wonderful vacation for some people, but then they come on this thing and they're like, oh my God, it's not even the same thing. It's just a giant floating party festival. So our guests will listen, y'all hopefully half of them are watching now, but they're super great community of people. They are the they're cream of the crop as far as the music fan goes. They're definitely a refined, they got refined ears. They catch things during the show that I think sets them apart. They've got really good ears and they catch a good vibe. When you're doing what you're doing and you're loving what you're doing, you're going to get that love right back. I'm confident you guys are going to go over great and have a huge time. So what is the thing that completely terrifies you, Jaffe?
Of a cruise or in general?
Yeah, tell us, we're going to go through this little therapy session here.
In general.
let's start there. Yeah.
How's it going?
How are you?
I got a lot on my mind, man.
Well, getting ready for this tour, I'm sure you are, right?
I love the ocean and swimming, but like, you know, where a lifeguard can see me. I don't like when things in the water touch my feet. I'm one of those that lets out a big shriek, you know, that's me. I don't know what's in the ocean. We don't belong there. So some sort of emergency, like rescue situation that I got to get on some inflatable shit in the middle of the ocean, the deep blue sea out there. Absolutely not. I'm sinking with that motherfucker.
Right. You're going down. Okay.
No.
Yeah. That's fair.
I'm the captain now.
I die with my ship.
Well, you were the captain.
Yeah.
We're up here on our lifeboat, Jack.
or anything happening to the septic tanks. I'm not a big fan of
doo-doo. I did not even think about that.
There's no
escaping it.
Listen,
I have a whole other story about that, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of about everything Jaffe just said. That is exactly like literally, I'm like, this is going to be the best experience in the world, or it's going to be the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Like my thing is like, because once you're out, you're out. You know, it's one of those real committed situations. That's the reason why I don't even go on those little cruise shows in New York where you could just, it's not even a cruise. Yeah, like you can go
just the ferry.
For like a couple of hours, a little ferry, kind of like you party for like a couple of hours. I'm like, wait a minute. So if I'm going to leave, I can't leave? This is crazy.
I mean, you could leave.
I don't think there's an Irish goodbye situation. Oh, yeah, you could, I guess.
You could.
You could swim your ass on back to land.
My biggest fear.
Yeah, there you go. Now we're back to I'm swimming to Tulum. Yeah.
So neither of you have ever stepped foot on a giant vessel that's going across the ocean. So we got that.
We got that.
Look forward to. So then you don't know what it's like to embark onto one of those giant. Okay, sick. Yeah. That's going to be really, really interesting.
The closest thing I've gotten to boats and music is losing my shit at Every Time I Die at a Pier 88 show in the city.
Buffalo?
Where it's it's right off the harbor in New York. You just kind of like go out. And that was the wildest shit ever. The ceiling was coming down.
Yeah,
I know every that. Moment of it.
Yeah.
I loved every That's moment hot. Of that shit.
That we had that. We had a ceiling come in with Papa Roach on the deck stage year before last. It was and it was on video, and it was it was pretty tremendous. Yeah, so that can happen on a cruise ship too. So there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I want to just mention one thing too about that to kind of like add on to what Al mentioned about the people on the ship, because it really does come like you forget all of that shit. Just so you know, that first few hours before that ship leaves, you're going to be literally terrified, because there's a whole other world of things that you don't. These are a whole ship of people who most likely know who you are, but you don't know who they are. And you're walking through these hallways, getting on there, doing your shit. And somebody's like, what's up? I know your fucking name. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then you have to do this whole thing that I want to ruin for you. And then we sail. And then once that's going, all of that weirdness that you had as a young man, well, I shouldn't say young, but you get what I'm saying, like first time on the ship, it goes away. And those people become part of your DNA for the rest of your life. My old man Wilson played this ship, I don't know, 7 times. I've been on these cruises, 9, this will be my 10th time on this specific type of cruise with these guys. And I look at all 5,000 of those people on that ship. Like, I know who they are if they've been on that ship before specifically, you know, and they will be the most loyal fans that I think that you have ever had. You will ever have. Wow. The 15 years, well, 12 years we were a band. I think that no one compared. So just so you know, you're in for quite the treat on both sides of the ups and the downs when it comes to being a
that's cool, because you echo, because I'm really good friends with, I'm tight with High Roller Hero. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah. and Jairo was like, yo, you're going to love that shit. He had
I told him the same thing. We took him on tour right before we went on the ship together. And I was like, you're going to just trust me, whatever you do, just be there, be around people. And it will, that noise will carry you so far after that. And it's true and true. These people are real, the real deal rock and roll fans. I don't think I've ever met anybody like him. So yeah, Jairo's good awesome. People too. And he had the same exact experience. I don't know if you talked to him after the ship, but he was like, you were right, motherfucker.
He told me like, yo, y'all gonna love that shit. Y'all gonna love that shit. You know how Jairo talk.
Yeah. And not for nothing, I think he was our first guest on the podcast, if memory serves.
Oh shit.
Second? Oh, that's right. He was second.
Josh Scoggin was the first.
Yeah, second one. Yeah, he's embraced the whole thing, man. And that's the thing. It's like the more you kind of embrace it, the more you're embraced, you know. It's just kind of like, you know, so yeah, I'm excited for you guys. I think everybody's going to have a really good time. And just remember, the first day is going to overwhelm you on a number of different ways. Just breathe through the first day and you'll get through it. And then by about day three, you're like, okay.
I'm getting like summer camp vibes. Like my friends that used to go to summer camp, like my best friend, and they had their friends for like 2 months. And I'd be like, I'm your best friend for fucking 9-10 months out of the year. And then you come back from summer camp, like this person from 2 months is your best friend. It's the best person ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this cult thing they've got going on? Yeah. I can never afford summer camp, so I don't know what this shit is.
Yeah. And now
as an adult, I'm like, I see how they're all still so close. They're all like chosen family. Camp, like, I basically am going to make up for it at Shiprocked.
Right. Yeah. There's a band camp joke in here somewhere, Chad. I know
you have somewhere.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. Somewhere in here. So, and it's cool. The community, they're, you know, they love the bands, but they also, they totally love each other. I mean, perfect example. I got a great friend of mine coming to visit me in a couple of weeks, and I'm in Nashville. He's going to Knoxville to hang out with some people that he met on Shiprocked. You know, he's driving 2.5-3 hours down the road to spend a couple days with them and then coming back to see me. So it's like, those are the kind of relationships.
Real community shit.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We're ready to like wild the fuck out and have a good time. That shit's going to be nuts.
Just make sure that you, if you do drink, do you guys drink?
Yeah.
Hydrate.
I mean, if anybody said hydrating, but no, like,
well, there's hydrate. Yeah. Everybody says, yeah, of course I will. But there's something weird about it, man. Like it doesn't, like typical hydration doesn't quite do it. It's like extra hydrate for sure.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it. I will keep that.
Yeah,
just like burned into my chest, and I'll tell the rest of the assholes too.
We
talked about hydrating. Good. Okay.
I'm like, hey, next on the map.
So, guys, we're gonna go into walk the plank, which sounds as terrifying as it could be. Both of you can answer the following question for me. If you woke up, I'll do D first. D, this is for you. If you woke up with Jeff Bezos' money tomorrow morning, what's the first thing that you would purchase?
Oh, if I woke up with Jeff Bezos type money tomorrow morning, oh my God, I'd make an Iron Man suit. It is on.
Bam. Easy.
I'm going to make an Iron Man suit. You can't tell me nothing. It's going to be it's going to be crazy. It's going to be redefined. It's going to be so crazy. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
I feel like that's what he's doing, right? Isn't it?
I'm going to go get tacos. In the suit? I hope, right?
In Mexico, in the suit.
Man, Chad, we got to figure out a way to get this man an Iron Man suit in Mexico.
We got to kidnap Jeff Bezos. I guess, and hold him ransom for all his money.
Yo, that is hilarious. That's so funny.
So,
good answer.
So, John, how about you? What would you do if you woke up with Jeff Bezos' money tomorrow morning? The first thing you would buy, the first thing you would purchase.
I'm a much more Mr. Robot, destroy capitalism kind of guy, to keep it simple. So I'd probably, you know, like end homelessness and probably like cover people's student loans, do all that shit, still have $100 billion left.
To burn.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Maybe just like take care of the Green New Deal by myself, you know, shit like that. Yeah. And then we're getting tacos.
Yeah, of course. Dean's gonna be flying down with his Iron Man suit, be like, exactly. Damn, these tacos are delicious and his suit looks great.
He's gonna be coming, he's gonna be delivering the payments in his Iron Man suit.
Exactly. That is absolutely like, really like good idea.
Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Iron Claws.
Oh my God.
All this to say, give us your money, make us billionaires. We'll do the same thing with it.
See, this is money well spent, people.
We'll throw the dopest ugly sweater party you ever seen.
Sick. A worldwide ugly sweater party. You're going to outfit everybody in their own ugly sweaters.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's great.
See? God, Jeff Bezos doesn't know what he's doing.
All right, so here's my question. Dee, I'll go with you first again. We'll follow suit here. Describe your, can you describe your life in 6 words?
Okay. Awesome, terrible, breathtaking, zen, trash, okay again. I love it.
It's
nine. It's perfect.
It's nine. Yeah, yeah. And I also screwed up. I was going to say in a 6-word sentence, but then I was like, he already started, so I'm just going to let it.
Listen, you said six words. He gave you nine, and that's where his law degree got him right there.
There we go. That's why I'm going to use it.
All right, John. Well, how about you? You can do it his way, or you can do it in a 6-word sentence.
Oh man. Full of love. But make no sense. Yeah. That's it. All right. That's it.
Hey, listen, go fucking cheaters, man.
I could do two. An oxymoron.
Okay. Oh. Wow. All right.
Wow.
Bam. All right. Full circle. You're welcome.
Boom.
Yo,
man. A lot. That's a lot to handle.
It was a full barrel there. Okay.
Go ahead, Chad.
No. I love your guys' answers. And it sounds like you're both very happy, which makes me, it's contagious, very happy. It makes my dog Carl especially happy because he loves to know absolutely not what the fuck is going on right now because he can't hear shit.
Okay, I got a question from a guest here on Facebook. Yeah. Steve Feiler, F-E-I-L-E-R, wants to know, what's the craziest large event story you have? I guess that means biggest show, craziest story from a big show. But I think we can narrow it down and say, what's the craziest road story that you have so far?
Oh, so far. I got something for you. Wow. I got something for you. Got yeah. something.
Here you go, Steve. For you. Tune in, Steve.
Craziest road story is when our TM, who we spoke about earlier, our TM literally knocked the AC off of the top of the Sprinter in the beginning of the tour and ripped a hole through the Sprinter.
Yeah,
so we had a
convertible.
It was a convertible. It was definitely a moonroof.
Wow.
Solid moonroof.
And the bridge was shorter than.
Oh, he was driving.
Like and drove
check
it.
This. He does this because he had to, and he needed to move the Sprinter while we were playing, so we didn't know what was happening. So he blows the roof off of this, right? And we didn't know. We had a kick-ass show. We're in Texas. Everything's big in Texas.
Summer in Texas?
Yeah. Where were we? We were in Dallas. We were in Dallas.
Wait, was it summer? Was it like summer?
No, yeah, it was summer. Yeah, it was summer in Texas. And he goes, I'll never forget this because I get off stage, we crush the show. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And he's just desolate. He's just not who he normally is. And he's like, yo, D, I got to tell you something. I'm like, what happened? What's good? He's like, nah, I Sprinter, man, it's not looking good. And I'm like, man, it can't be that bad. I'm still riding on show hot. So I'm walking back with him like, come on, bro, whatever it is, we'll just fix it. I swear to you, I was like, I'm gonna climb up, take a look. I got on the roof of that thing and it was like, Trey, this is so bad.
You fucked up.
It looked like a fucking missile had hit the top of this roof. There was just pieces everywhere. I was like,
oh my God.
What are we going to do?
And yeah, what did you do?
Yo, we tried to. We were going to try to get it fixed. But that wasn't going to happen on the road. There was no one to be able to fix it. So it was either ride it out or cancel tour. We fucking rode it out.
With the hole?
We went to Home Depot and Lowe's and makeshift
a roof. Say duct tape. Please say duct tape.
Yes, it was duct tape, my guy. Okay. It was duct tape, my guy. So we duct tape a bunch of like, the dude at Home Depot took pity on us and was like, what? We're trying to fix the roof and gave us a bunch of stuff that he thought would work. And we were like, so we sealed it.
Here's some packing peanuts. Yeah.
And we sealed it.
What did you use?
So we duct taped.
Like for material? Like for the, you just duct taped the thing?
No. It was like this waterproof material he had.
Tarp, kind of.
It was like tarp and layer. And then we put a tarp on top of that. And then we duct taped it around it and sealed it. So we thought we was lit. Until we drove through Seattle. Oh, my God.
Should have gone three ply.
It rained.
Oh my God. So we just woke up to the biggest puddle in the world and we were just sitting there. And I always remember this because we were playing. I forgot what this venue was saying. Oh my God. But all I know is the show was sold out. And I remember going back to the van to get a t-shirt because I needed to grab something. And our makeshift thing once again leaked. And it was just a puddle. And I remember looking at it and going, I'm going to cry. I was literally like, it rained on us. So we pretty much did 30 dates like that.
Was it your van? Did you rent this thing?
We rented it and we ended up having it. So all the money we made on tour, when we came home, it paid to fix the van.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's still your tour manager, huh? Nice.
Yeah.
We love him.
He's just trying to see what else he can fuck up. That's great. I love that.
It got kind of crazy. We were just like, this was devastating. That was devastating. That also almost broke up the band. we got on that tour like, don't fucking talk.
Defeated. Anymore. Defeated. We're so
defeated. Yeah. My bank account was negative 20. I was like, I hate everyone. Don't talk to me ever again.
Dude, been there, dude. That shit's serious. Like, yeah. Good kudos on you guys. And kudos that he's still there. Hopefully that never happens again. I mean, you know.
Nah, he's lit now.
It's been a lot of growth. A lot of growth.
It's been a whole lot of growth.
We have another cool question from one of our viewers here. Chris Souza wants to know, speaking of Shiprock, how do y'all plan on fighting off pirates?
I do Muay Thai, so what up? Pirates can come get some. What do they want? Do they want some teeps? They want some knees? How do we want to do this? Some push kicks?
You'll give them the option.
He knows what he's doing. K.I. is a large man capable of fighting. I'm going to stand behind them.
I'll be behind you guys, too.
Smart.
My brother's not a little guy. K.I. is 6'3".
Bigger than security.
Yeah, he's not a little guy.
Jaffe's going to be like this.
Yeah. World star
all day.
Does he know
all the jujitsu shit?
Yeah, jujitsu, yeah.
Nah, he doesn't do Muay Thai, but he does do Aikido.
Yeah.
He does do I'm about to snap.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
He does. I'm about to snap, and if I snap, D snaps, then we're all snapping.
And Slim Jim up in that bitch, man. Holy shit.
We're safe.
Yo, endorsement, Slim Jim, what's up?
Tell them, kick somebody's ass, World Star, and then get that Slim Jim money.
Get that Slim Jim check.
Tell the pirates about us. Let them know about us.
Right. Okay.
All right. Respect.
Mr. Sosa.
So you're coming. Your stage music is Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Walkout music is Sledgehammer. We've established that.
The checklist.
The second one is Extra Hydrate.
Extra Hydrate.
Yeah. And we got a good list.
And that here. You know Muay Thai, and you have a 6'3" brother who also knows that you know Muay Thai, which means that like he knows kind of Muay Thai.
Yeah. And Slim Jim.
Get that Slim Jim money.
Yo, that should be a shirt. Get that Slim Jim money.
See, seriously.
Make that go viral somehow. Get that Slim Jim money.
You know how to do it. You find a pirate, you beat his ass with Muay Thai. Your brother stands there just like enforcing the ass kicking, and you videotape it, and then you send it to World Star, send that to Slim Jim, and there you go. Boom. Done.
That's gonna be popping. That's gonna be great. Really
this is a good question. Jaffe, let me ask you this. Would you rather continue your life or start over fresh?
Continue. Continue. I definitely have, I assumed and wished that I would be at the level I'm at 10 years ago, but I feel like if I was, I would have blown my load and definitely fucked it all up. So and the whole like start over with the knowledge you have now, I mean, maybe just so I could have hair again, cause I'm bald, but like other than that, like in regards to the experience and like where I'm at with my peace and happiness, I wouldn't change a damn thing.
And D, would you rather continue your life or start over fresh?
I continue. Now I want to start over fresh. You know, I wouldn't be as cool as I fucking am right now. Nah, fuck that.
Yeah, unless you go back with the knowledge that you have now, but that's not part of it, right? It's fresh.
Exactly, which is terrible.
Which leads me to another walk the plank question, because you mentioned what you were doing 10 years ago, Jaffe. Mm-hmm. What did you fear 10 years ago that you don't fear today?
That I was gonna lose my hair.
Oh my god! Oh, well, yeah,
I've embraced it with head tattoos. That's it. I won life. I won.
I thought you were gonna say I've embraced it with head tattoos of like little pieces, like curly hair.
Nah, chill. I'm not that Dominican. They extra with that shit.
He wouldn't have survived this bed and that with that.
They would have roasted me to death.
Show up without telling anybody. Just take your hat off. Like, all right, what are we doing today? What's the set looking like? Practice.
D, what did you fear 10 years ago that you don't fear today?
My mom.
Really? You don't fear her now at all?
No, my mom's the greatest. We just went to a brunch. We do regular shit. She's not trying to make like kill me because I didn't do what she wanted me to do.
Right. But that's right. Right. You want, because as a father, you don't want to be friends with your kids. I don't have any intention to be friends with my kids, man, until they're adults. Then I'll be friends with you, but we're not hanging as friends. I'm your fucking dad. Like that's where I go, right? Exactly. And so that's kind of what your mom was. She was like, listen, she was your mom by God, and you did what she said. And now it's like, hey man, we're going to brunch. What'd you say? We do family shit. We do family shit now. We go to brunch.
I feel you on that. Exactly. Right? We hang out. Now that she was mom, now she's Ellie Rose.
She's
she?
I said she's Ellie Rose. Her name's Ellie Rose. Mom named Rose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Ellie Rose. That's great. Okay. I'm gonna call my mom that.
All right, we're gonna get that.
No, you were mom.
E-L-L-I-E-L-E Rose.
All right. She's watching right now, too.
She knows she's watching. Hey, Ellie Rose.
She's always watching something. Hey,
mom. Okay, so final question for both of you. We did a little Would You Rather in there, too. We kind of mixed it up a little bit. Chad, do you have one? Because I got a pretty good one.
No, you fire. Yours are always so much better than mine. You saw mine.
We're about to wrap up here in a couple of minutes, but I want to kind of close on this one. It usually can be fairly poignant. That means poignant. POI.
G. There's a G in there, right?
Jaffe, what is the last thing you cried about?
Oh, I watched Top Chef Junior and like little really talented children make me fucking bawl, bro. I'm so as much as I think life is beautiful, this place is a fucking dumpster fire. And like these little kids, these little flashes of hope bring me so much joy. I used to
and they're using that fire to cook you some dope ass meals.
No, they're so talented, man. They're so tacos.
I've never seen this before.
Bro,
tacos all day.
Master Chef Junior, man. I am telling you, those fucking kids are just like you. Yeah, I'll bawling every time.
I can't wait. I'm watching that tonight. All right. Yeah. Interesting.
D, what is the last thing you cried about at brunch?
What was the last thing I cried about at brunch?
No, just in general. What's the last thing that you cried about?
What was the last thing I cried about? I don't really cry. Muay Thai doesn't promote tears. Oh. No, I'm just joking.
I break it and I walk away.
Unless you're spicy Slim Jims, and then you're like, oh, man.
We're not that toxic.
Honestly,
We need lies.
The last thing where that tears actually like, oh my God, was literally like my dad is like the greatest dude of all time. He's a dad's dad, straight up, no lie. But he told me he loved me in that kind of a sense the first time. It was just funny with it, which happened to be around a brunch.
Of course, yeah.
and it tore me up. It's not because he's been a bad dad. My dad's been in my life the entire time. My dad's always been there. He just lost his dad so young and never knew how to show emotion. Mm. And so he told me that. And I watched him cringe a little bit when he said it. And then we hugged.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. See, yeah, we're changing lives here on Making Waves, the Shit Rock podcast.
Well, you know, I'm not, we joke a lot, but there's some
stuff. No, of course.
There's moments.
I don't want, when we walk out, I don't want you to put MasterChef Junior behind us on the screen and shit. Just to try and get me to cry, all right?
This is gonna put right your head and cut off spinning around with tears flying around.
Right before you go on stage.
Yeah, I know I've shared a lot of information with you tonight. Use it to be my friend. Gentlemen.
Use it for good. Use your powers for good.
Please.
The intro. Lights go down. He's got evil. Spotlights. We have the teariest.
I'm going to see Jeff Bezos.
That's right.
I'm coming to see you with the suit.
Well, listen, so thank you to our co-host, Chad Nicefield, everybody at Ask For Entertainment, our show engineer, Jennifer Zito, our show coordinator, Heather Smith, Danny Hill, our wonderful guest services ladies, Kathy Dallaire and Peggy Meyer. And of course, none of this would be possible without our captain, Alan Koenig, who reminds us to rock hard and vacation harder. Ladies and gentlemen of the internet and the outer net, we have had a great time hanging with these guys tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining. Be sure to check out these guys on tour. I just looked it up here while we're chatting. November 4th for me in Nashville. I will see you both.
Yes.
That's a promise. At Marathon City Music Works.
Hot chicken.
We can do it. Yeah. We'll go to Prince's. We'll go to Prince's.
Take me away, baby.
No tourist BS, man. We're going to Prince's. If Prince's is still around, if I thought maybe it burned down. But anyway, that would be cool too. So be sure to check out the guys. They're in a town near you. They're working their asses off this fall for you guys. I'm sure the show's going to be great. We're excited to have you guys on the ship. So once again, man, it's been a trip getting to know you guys, man. We're super pumped.
Absolute pleasure.
Been amazing.
It's awesome, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Love
we'll
it.
We'll laugh even harder in person.
No doubt. Yeah, once you get a full body shot of me, you won't be able to resist.
I thought you were going to say, once you get a full body shot on me.
Listen.
You'll all be laughing. Listen,
he might be a Caesar salad. He might be shredded up.
I love it.
Ooh, Caesar salad. That's fire. All right. I love you, Al. And I know I love you guys. So it's a big love fest for me. Thanks for being here and spending time with us today. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Y'all. We appreciate it. Jen, you can cut it.
Bye, guys.
Welcome to Southside, a black motherfucker named Dave. Dripping lit, ain't no surf in my wave. New York shit, Cuban links in my chain. Don't chase clock, too much junk in my veins. Hit him, no cap in my lane. So pro black when I shine, it's like shade. They so lame, got no soul on they chain. Turn a water to rhyme, be by to my grave. We're
don't fuck with chickens. Next you know she's swallowing the rooster. Put the scooper even.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.